You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovan. I am joined, as always, by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, the Twins had lost 12 of 15 before a little team meeting last Tuesday of the Rangers series, and they've since won consecutive series. You know, we've been saying this for a long time now. The American League, it's you hover around 500, you're definitively in the race, and the Twins keep hanging in there. What's been the key to getting this club going again a little bit here in the last week or so?
Well, I think one thing for sure is they played well at home all year. I think, you know, the record, they played pretty well at Target Field. So that home stand was very big for them. They hadn't won back-to-back series in a long time. You know, right now they're going on a big road trip here. Kind of the big slate here kind of coming up is going to be all on the road. That's going to kind of be kind of make or break the season, I think, is going to be this big road trip starting here in New York, and they go to Baltimore, Tampa, and then they come home only for a little bit, hit the road again. So this big stretch is going to be big for them right now. Coming, you know, getting that, you know, couple series win there against, you know, a couple of good teams, Rangers and Indians, have struggled a little bit, but, you know, to beat some good pitchers there definitely helped. Their confidence level, like you said, that team meeting certainly was something that kind of picked them up a little bit. They had one that, you know, the previous home stand too, maybe didn't work quite as well. They had a little bit of a closed-door meeting in Toronto. So they've been trying to get it together. You know, it's a team that has surprised a lot by being in the race as long as they have, and they're not ready to fall out of it just yet. I mean, the thing is, it's still going to be a tough road just because, like I said, they have so many road games, and really it's in other teams that might be a little bit better on paper. But as you said, right now, as long as you're at around 500, they're still within, you know, a game, two games of the wild card right now.
Yeah, I agree, Rhett. This is definitely it. Definitely has that feel of a make or break stretch for them. They're 3-10 on the road since the All Star break going into this road trip, and it's not just that; it's also who they're playing: Yankees, Orioles, and Rays. Obviously, all teams that are at the very least in that wild card picture as well. So, big stretch for them. I wanted to, as we've done many times on this podcast, let's delve into the rotation a little bit because there's been a little bit of upheaval there with the Phil Hughes back injury. That thrust Trevor May back in the rotation. And I'm just curious, Rhett, you know, we talked about this with Corey Provis when he filled in on last week's podcast, but May's long-term future, it seems like it's the best option is to, you know, entertain the option of him as a starter long-term, but he had really been pitching well for them in the bullpen. This stint in the rotation, do you see it lingering beyond a couple of starts, or what's the outlook here for May down the stretch here this season?
I mean, it definitely could. Right? This is a guy that's, you know, a young guy, a rookie that had a really good start to the year and really was kind of just, you know, moved out of the rotation due to the fact that, you know, Malone was coming back at the time, Nolasco was back, kind of got pushed back a little bit out of there, but fared pretty well. You know, obviously his ERA as a starter was a little bit high, but that was kind of, you know, hurt by a kind of a slow start to the, you know, his first couple of starts of the year, kind of started to figure it out there. And, you know, his first start back here was only a couple of innings just because of his pitch count reasons. But I do think that he's going to get a chance here down the stretch, maybe stay as a starter. And I do think next year he's got a really good chance to be a starting pitcher even out of spring training. I think they see him as a starter long term. He does have the stuff to be a reliever if that was, like, it's kind of a worst-case scenario because he does throw hard. He's got the, you know, the right kind of breaking ball and the right kind of mix, even the changeup, that he could be a really effective reliever if that was the thing they wanted him to be. But I think given his youth and his upside as a starter, I think they're much more inclined to make him a starter going forward. I think right now, like I said, it was just more, he got bumped out of the rotation. Tommy Malone was pitching well at the time. He ended up getting hurt now too, but just came back and also fared well in his first start back in the DL. So the rotation definitely a little bit of upheaval, but I do think that May, even if maybe late in the year, if he goes back to relief, if everyone's healthy, I do think that his future is definitely going to be as a starting pitcher.
What do you make of Ervin Santana, Rhett? I mean, we talked when he first came back from the suspension in early July, some really encouraging moments. But, you know, now you look at it in a bigger sample, and it's, you know, he's given up 5 earned runs or more in half of his first 8 starts back. So there's definitely been some yin and yang where Santana is concerned. What have you made of his performance here so far?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, he's had some great starts. You know, his first start of the year, he won 8 innings against the Royals. He had that great start against his former team, the Angels in Anaheim. He even had a pretty good start in Oakland. So, I mean, you see some of these great starts where he's going, you know, 7-8 innings pretty effortlessly. And then all of a sudden, he'll have these starts where he just turns into a complete clunker and is, you know, giving up eight earned runs, you know, and stuff like that, giving up, you know, multiple home runs, stuff that really hasn't really plagued him much in the past. So it's definitely not a good sign. I mean, he really hasn't been that kind of locked down. And right now, it's still Hughes out. I mean, he's technically really their number one starter, and they paid him a lot of money to be their number one starter. And for them to, you know, have to go through that suspension for 81 games and then get these uneven performances so far is definitely a disappointment for the Twins. I mean, this is a guy that's supposed to anchor the rotation, and even after the suspension, I think the Twins expected him to come back and to post a pretty good ERA on the stretch here and be a big key if they were going to make the wild card. And so far, as you've talked about, it just really hasn't happened. I mean, he really hasn't been consistent enough to be a stalwart in this rotation, and he's going to have to really pick it up down the stretch here if the Twins have any chance at all of making the wild card. Because, like I said, right now, he really is their de facto ace, and he really doesn't have the numbers to back that up this season. So he's going to be counted on big time going forward. And yeah, it's hard to say exactly what it is, why he's been struggling so much. Some of the times it seems like his stuff isn't really quite there. Even his start in Oakland, it was good. His velocity was kind of down, but then all of a sudden it was back up against the Angels. So you never really know. I mean, I'm sure it's not easy coming back from a layoff for that long, you know. It's probably harder for a hitter if he's out 80 games because of the timing and all that. But even as a pitcher, I'm sure, you know, not having spring training leading into it in a sense, obviously he had those rehab starts at AAA. It's just got to be a weird routine, though, to kind of come into a season and be healthy and start it all of a sudden mid-season. But we haven't seen him hit his mid-season form at all. It's definitely a better disappointment for the Twins.
Yeah, he's had a couple weird years here. First with the qualifying offer situation that preceded his Braves tenure, and now obviously the suspension that affected his schedule for this year. Rhett, how about Tommy Malone? He returned to the rotation Sunday. He looked very sharp against the Indians. And I saw where he said his curveball has been more of a put-away pitch for him, whereas in the past it was more the changeup he would rely on in those situations. It seems like that's been a big adjustment for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you said, he had a great first start back. He only missed the 15 days, which is nice. And his last couple starts before he won the DL, he really struggled. He didn't know if he was coming back down to earth, if he was just hurt. Turned out, I mean, based on that, you know, stretch here, I think he was just kind of hurt those last couple starts. Otherwise, he's been really good. He had a great stretch there, about 10 starts. And obviously, his last start here against the Indians, he was very good. And you're right, that breaking ball has definitely been a big key for him. He changed the grip on it. So it's kind of a little bit of a different action on it. A little more rotation, change the grip. He's getting more, more spin, more break to it. A little more strikeouts, which is definitely a big key. He's never really been a big strikeout guy, but he's getting enough to make it work. And obviously, you know, change the speeds enough, and very good at locating the ball. Kind of relies on the defense a lot, and it's been a good combination. It turned out to be a pretty good trade for the Twins last trade deadline, getting a rotation piece for Sam Fold, the backup kind of fourth outfielder type, because he really has been very good this year after last year, you know, struggling with injuries and down the stretch and all that. But, yeah, he's been a big addition to this rotation and kind of helpful, especially knowing they've had Nolasco out pretty much all year. Phil Hughes is on a DL now again, too. So it's just one of those things that kind of fill in those patches of the rotation. He's been a valuable member of that this season.
Seems like Glenn Perkins possibly over the hump. Hit a little bit of a rough patch in July, and then really just, you know, as is the case for a closer, when things aren't going particularly well for a team, you just struggle to get work in general. But he had a nice weekend, and the bullpen had a nice weekend in general against Cleveland.
Yeah, Perkins is a guy that, you know, they count on him. He's been an all-star now for three straight years. He had a little rough patch, but I think all closers go through that. And even that, you know, a lot of it was homer heavy. He gave up a couple big home runs in that stretch, including to A-Rod. You know, you're not going to be perfect. I mean, sometimes it happens. Obviously, it seems like guys have perfect save seasons, but most guys are going to, you know, blow a couple saves here and there. It was just tough because of the timing of it. You know, they're coming right out of the All-Star break, so they'd won all those games going into the All-Star break. They're feeling confident, and all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of taking it to the Yankees, and then they blew a big lead, and he gives up a home run, and then that next series gives up a couple more, blows up more saves. It's been one of those things where he's really gotten a lot better since then. I think it was just a little blip. His stuff was still good. It'd be one thing if he's given up all these home runs, struggling, and all of a sudden you saw his velocity dip. As you saw last year, we saw him get hurt late in the year, he had to get shut down. But right now he's healthy and the stuff is still there. It was just kind of a location thing. And I think he's kind of worked on that to fix it. And you're right, he had a big kind of bounce back weekend. And his Twins definitely not really too worried about him going forward.
One last thing, Rhett. Eddie Rosario, I'm sure a lot of people saw that home run he hit off Josh Tomlin the other day. It was one of those pitches where either hit it out or get hit in the chin. I think those were his two options. And he hit it out. A nice bad ball moment for him right there. He's tied for second in the major leagues in triples, had a really nice rookie season in general, but he's also struck out 73 times and walked just 10 times. What do you make of Eddie Rosario's year?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? The whole thing with the strikeouts is definitely concerning, especially with the lack of walks. He's never really been much of a patient hitter in the minors. But I think, you know, he's such an aggressive hitter. As you said, that pitch that he hit out, you know, most guys can't do that. I think we've brought up kind of like a Vlad Guerrero light kind of comparison in terms of the fact that he swings at a lot of pitches. But he doesn't really have that kind of power. He's not – most of his – you know, I mean, he has a pretty high slugging percentage, but most of that is due to his triples just because he has such good speed, seems to slap the ball around in the gap. So I think that he can still be a productive player this season and even going forward if he can keep his batting average close to 300, you know, just because he's never really going to have much of an on-base percentage because of his lack of walks. But if he can keep his average even around 280 to 300 and kind of slap the ball around and get a lot of doubles and triples, and then, as we know, he does have some surprising power there. And defensively, he's got good range, made a nice throw the other day. So he can be a pretty good player for this team. I think that he's gone through a lot as a minor leaguer. You know, he had the suspension for a drug of abuse. But he was a top 100 prospect, and he really was a big prospect in the Twins system in general. And now he's starting to kind of see some of that after, you know, all the struggles he went through last year. He had a big Arizona fall that kind of gave him some confidence and kind of had a great spring training, went down to, you know, double-A and triple-A and did a great job there. And so far, he's definitely been a big contributor for this team and has kind of taken over and left for Oswaldo Arcia, who was supposed to be kind of the everyday left fielder. And he's been kind of stuck in triple-A most of the season. And part of that is because Rosario has been so effective, especially defensively and on the bases, and has definitely added with his bat as well.
All right. I want to thank Rip Bollinger for joining us as always, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.